everyone, and welcome to a new episode of the Game Out Talk podcast. Doro Bogdan is my guest today. Hey, Doro, happy we could make it out.
Hey, Christoph, nice to see you again.
How is it going? Yeah, we met 1 year ago, I imagine, kinda.
Yeah, even more than that. Yeah, it's going well. How about you?
It's going well. Yeah, same. Had a great productive day. Maybe introduce yourself. What are you currently doing? Where are you working? I imagine you're a freelancer, right?
I'm a freelancer. I'm 35 years old, self-taught artist from Romania, and a recently new dad. And I work at Roommate Studio as a lead environment artist.
That's cool. So how did this all like happen out? How was your first contact with the game industry? When did you start out?
Professionally, you mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
That was maybe 6 years ago or something. At the time, I used to live in Dublin, working as a waiter at the airport.
How did you get to Ireland?
I can't really explain it. Just life happened, I guess.
Okay.
That's circumstances. Cool. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I was working there, trying to get into the industry. So in my off time, I was just working on my portfolio. So just one day I posted something that got, I don't know if you remember, on ArtStation, they used to have this ArtStation picks.
Yeah.
And one of my works was featured there. So immediately after that, I got some emails with some job offers, like freelancing. That's basically how I got into it.
That's cool.
That was a lucky break, I guess.
Sounds like a big hustle, like working next to your day-to-day job, getting into the industry, which is already pretty hard if you do it like full-time. Like if you're a student and you just focus on getting into the industry and learning new tools, and even doing that next to your day job, it's pretty hard, right?
Oh yeah, it was really, really hard. I was working like from 4 or 5 p.m. a.m. I mean. Mm-hmm. So when I got back from work, I would just work on my portfolio.
This is cool. So have you been always playing games? Like, have you been a gamer, I imagine?
Yeah, my whole life since I was a kid. Like, I even now I remember dreaming about working in the industry. You're about my age, right?
I'm turning 30 next year, so yeah.
So like one of my first games that I really loved was Gothic 1, a German game.
Yeah, German developer, right?
Yeah, Piranha Bytes, I think. So I really loved that game, and ever since then I was like, oh man, I would love to work on this game.
A game like that.
Game like that, yeah.
Yeah. So like, what was your imagination when you wanted to go into the industry? Have you always been focusing on props, or have you even thought about maybe going into characters? Like, how was your thought process when you started out?
At the start, I was like quite confused. I didn't know what I want to do. I even tried doing like characters for a bit, but I was more into like props, I guess, and sword and stuff. But little by little I kind of started to find out what I like to do. So nowadays I still like to do props, but environments is more, I don't know, you can do a lot more with environments, tell more of a story, I guess.
I would say props is like the biggest gateway to 3D art in games, I would say, because there are so many of them and there are so different. Like, you can literally, everything is a prop, right?
It's probably also because it's more of a bite-sized workload. You can just tackle a prop and do it in rather than a huge environment, then you kind of get lost if you're new.
And have a good result after a short time, right? Which is pretty important for artists, right?
Yeah, of course. Plus, you get to, on props, you get to train all those skills that are useful in environment also.
That's true. That's true. So yeah, let's speak about your career a bit. Like, how, where have you, at what studios did you work? Like, you mentioned that you're currently working for Room 8, which is like a huge outsourcing company.
Yeah.
So yeah, let's speak about that a bit.
Well, before this, I guess you know, I worked at War Dog Studios,
mm-hmm.
where I was a weapon artist. But even then, I was like always dreaming about doing environments. So
mm-hmm.
I couldn't do that there. They only do weapons. So I guess I found my way here to Room 8, where they offered me the chance to do environments.
Yeah. So do you enjoy being a lead? Like, I think it's a bit different from being like down in the trenches and creating art. So how is this whole leading thing going for you?
It's totally different, I guess. For me, it works out because, you know, I kind of like helping other artists and teaching them or giving them feedback. I even have my own like private Discord where I get my friends and help them out. So that kind of falls in naturally for me.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I like it. It's, although to be honest, I do like working more like hands-on, doing
art. Sure. Yeah.
Art, but leading is also rewarding in its own way.
Yeah. So you're still creating art?
These days it's really tough finding the time.
Yeah, I hear that a lot of times by lead artists. They always say like, I do still do art, but basically not.
Yeah, especially with a new kid, it's really tough. But mm-hmm. I feel the urge to do it like a lot. I can't even explain it, and it's kind of frustrating because I can't do it. But like I told you before, I have this Discord,
mm-hmm.
and we're doing like the small challenge. We are all doing one prop,
mm-hmm.
The same prop, our own take. So I'm still working on that on my free time. Some small prop just to, you know, keep the skills sharp and not forget everything.
Yeah, especially as a lead. Maybe you will stay a lead all your life, but I think you gotta stay like up to date and have and know what you're doing, right? Or know what the artists are doing.
Yeah, yeah. And you know how it is in this industry. Workflows continue to evolve and change, and especially as a lead, I'm a bit worried that, you know, I don't get to do as much art, so maybe mm-hmm. I'll fall behind. So
you get rusty.
Yeah, yeah. For example, mm-hmm. I don't get to do texturing work that much, like in Painter. Mm-hmm. So I try to do some stuff in my free time just to not forget everything.
What would you say has changed most in the whole workflow? If you take a prop, for example, in the last 2 or 3 years,
For a prop,
yeah.
Not sure if that much has changed. Like
mm-hmm.
maybe you get more budget, or depending.
Yeah, that's what I would say as well, right? You have more like a poly budget.
Yeah, and maybe texturing wise, things have evolved a bit. Like,
mm-hmm.
especially with Painter, with tools evolving as well, you get more freedom. With, for example, in Painter, you have anchor points which are really, really powerful. So,
yeah, anchor points have been like a huge boost in terms of tools, I would say. Especially texturing. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's actually a bit underused even, I think. But mm-hmm. you can do so much with it. You don't even need to sculpt that much.
That's true. Yeah. I was working with Alexander Asmus with Crytek. He's like the lead artist there, and he was like abusing anchor points to such a extreme, but it all worked. Like, it all made sense in a way. It was like a system, so to say, and you can really connect with each other. It's like a whole network you can build up with anchor points, which is really cool.
Funny you should say, that was actually the project where I really started to get into anchor points, like to that high level.
Yeah,
really found out, you know, how awesome they are.
Yeah. I for me, they don't even get enough credit. Like, they are producing such a fantastic art style, and also art itself. Like, they are doing a fantastic job. I really enjoyed working with them.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. So, as you being an art station, you have, like, I think you made a huge jump in ArtStation followers with all your art pieces, and there are tons of it, which I still like love to see and love to take a look at. It's like the drinking horn, the crossbow. I really still love them. They are 4 years old. They still look fantastic.
Oh, thanks, man.
How would you say that, like, ArtStation changed? Like, because I get the feeling it did a bit of a, it's going through a bit of a evolution at the moment. I don't know. Maybe I'm just fantasizing.
I'm not sure if I would call it evolution, but definitely is changing.
Mm-hmm.
Especially with those, you know, controversial issues we had.
Oh yeah.
Recently, I think. I don't know, like, people are starting to see it differently, but it definitely changed, I guess, how the public is using it, because it used to be more, I don't know, kind of carefree in a way, and now it's quite political oftentimes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
We didn't used to see that as much before, and also it's like quite tough to get visibility now. I see this with some of my friends who are like beginners,
mm-hmm.
and they're finding it much harder to get visibility compared to, you know, when I was starting out.
Yeah, that's what I kind of wanted to say. It's way harder to make a big thing on ArtStation because it's so filled already. Like, if I remember Ole from Wardog, mm-hmm. when he started out and he was like creating those weapons, there was no other, like, there were some other artists, but he was like so exploding with followers and likes and visibility. Like, it was at a different time, I would say.
Yeah, for sure. I can't really explain it, but for sure there is, I don't know, maybe it's too many good things, too many awesome work. So it's like the quality bar is so high that it's really hard to impress people.
I think this is the main thing. Yeah, yeah. So what do you like most about your portfolio? Is there some piece you're still looking back and you're like, I still like this?
Well, as old. Old stuff, definitely, you know, the ArtStation challenge from the feudal Japan stuff.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Even, like, actually, recently, I started to think about deleting them or putting them offline, but
uh-huh.
I don't know, I just still love them. They're 5 years old. I didn't even have a job, I think, or I don't know, I was just starting out. Mm-hmm. So maybe it reflects poorly on my portfolio, but I just love them so much. I had so much fun on that challenge. But more recently, I guess the Kodak camera, that was, I don't know, I just put a lot of love and effort into that piece. Uh-huh. And kind of the presentation idea evolved like really naturally, even though I didn't plan it at the start, not at all. Like I planned something really simple.
Do you have this camera at home?
I know.
Oh, so you take lots of reference shots.
Yeah, although I did go to, I guess it's called a flea market, or not sure.
Uh-huh.
I went and tried to look for something similar, and I found like a similar camera just to get more reference of the interiors.
Yeah, like how is it wearing and how does the materials look?
Or how it's built on the inside, because usually the insides are hard to find.
Yeah. How do you make the lenses, like the distortion of the lenses? How did you recreate that?
Actually, Marmoset has these these shaders.
Refraction.
What is it called? Newton's rings or something.
Mm-hmm.
And they're quite powerful. They look quite nice.
Okay, so this is like real, nothing fakey.
Well, I always fake stuff, but
yeah, sure. That's what all 3D artists do, right?
It's a more complex shader, I guess, than just simple glass
transparency. So, how do you like creating art? When you take a look at your war horn, for example, or your drinking horn, like how is your go to? Do you like sculpt details by hand, or are you relying on textures for like these cracks, for example, or how's your approach on that?
Well, those are quite old pieces now, and I used to rely a lot on sculpting, but these days I think I would use anchor points way more. So maybe I would sculpt, you know, some bigger cracks, but I wouldn't go full on with tertiary details like the small dots and whatever.
So you would do the rest all in textures.
These days I would, yeah. It's also a time saver, but you get more flexibility. You can always go back and change it. You don't have to rebake or re-sculpt.
Yeah, especially when we did when I worked for Crytek and we saw that like the outsourcing companies are sculpting high polys.
Mm-hmm.
We were always like, this is not so good because you can't change things, and you have lots of if something needs to be changed in the sculpt, it's taking lots of time to resculpt, and it's easier to do it with textures because you're way flexible.
Yeah, I agree.
So are you also like in the process of hiring artists? Like I imagine you are in interviews, and maybe you are also looking for new artists on the team.
Well, in such a big studio like Roommate, this is not really in my attributions. I guess they have, you know, people
for that.
Tailor for that. So not so much here.
Do you also take a look at portfolios, like to see if they are fit?
Yeah.
So what is it?
Sometimes they ask me. Well, it depends on the project, I guess. If their skills match what type of art we're doing, but more than that, we look at other stuff like. How well do they communicate? How well they play as a team member? How well they take critique? I guess it's also very important. But communication above all is quite important. I think I was even in this situation where I had to pick between two artists. One was, you know, they had better English, they were more communicative, they played better as a team member, but the skills were just a tad bit lower.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that was way better pick for the team.
Yeah, because you can always, like, make the skill gap not too bad. Like, the skill gap is always not the big problem. It's mostly, like, a communication issue, because if you can communicate your skill gap, there is no problem, I would say, right?
Yeah, of course. Like, even if you're amazing, but you can't take critique well, or you can't understand critique well, that's not so much useful as a team member. But if you can take critique well, then you can get trained into anything.
True. Yeah. So as you're moving now into environment, what did spark the interest in environment? Because taking a look at your portfolio, you only have props and weapons.
Yeah. I guess I love the storytelling, although
mm-hmm.
I have some stuff that I've been working on, even like personal stuff, environments, but you know how it is, the free time, it's lacking. But yeah, it's mainly the storytelling. Like, you can tell so much of a story just by placing a prop this way or with the texture, how or where you place it, how just like some little damage can tell a lot of a story.
So it's more like a bigger picture that you're telling the story with, and not just with a single prop where you can also tell a story with, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, with a prop, you can tell a story mainly through texture, right? Or I guess it depends on the prop, but I usually tell the story through texturing, where I put the damage or things like that. But in environments, you can just do a lot more.
Yeah. So how was the transition for you moving away from proper weapon creation to more like environments?
It was quite seamless, honestly, mm-hmm. Because I always worked on personal projects related to environments, or I was doing materials in Substance Designer. So it came quite naturally. Plus, a lot of the skills are transferable for, you know, like the fundamentals of art, I guess.
Yeah. Speaking of the fundamentals of art, like, are you self-taught?
Yeah, I am.
So you never really went to university or
No, not at all.
So all self-taught next to your job at the airport.
Yeah, self-taught. I, you know, from all the Discord servers, I just pick the brains of everyone, watch a lot of tutorials, ask for a lot of feedback, or, you know, any kind of source of information I could get my hands on, I would study.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can get quite far with that.
Yeah, I'm self-taught as well, and I think there is no need for it, like to go to the university. It can help, like, maybe, as you already mentioned, the basics of art, like understanding light, understanding color, but there is nothing you could really like learn for yourself.
I guess it's useful for some people that are not, you know, how should I say it, that well self-driven. They need someone to give them like an assignment or a deadline, you know. So, and they also like learn how to learn, let's say, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what it's useful for.
So as you being always self-driven, like, what did you learn the most? Did you just watch tutorials, or did you just create stuff and throw it on Discord and let it critique you, like
kind of all of the above? At the beginning, it was a lot of tutorials mostly, because I had no idea what I was doing, but after a while I was just, you know, trying a lot of stuff by my own, getting feedback from anyone I could ask. Those were the good days in the Discords. You know, Dynasty. Yeah. Back then it was a really small Discord and quite tight-knit, so a lot of people.
It's exploded, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's huge now, but
it's an army.
Back then it was, I don't know, less than 200 people, I think.
This is crazy. Like, can I take a look at how many people are there? I can't see it, no. So what, like, for the listeners out there, what are your most or your best Discord service you could like give us? So Dynasty still big and great?
Well, it depends what you're looking for. I mean, there's Discords for anything. There's Discords for characters, for environment, for whatever. But honestly, I do love experience points and Dynasty, and there's a few more, but...
experience points. Mm-hmm.
I think my main issue with them, because they got so big, it's like a lot of clutter, a lot of noise. So I would suggest finding a small Discord or small group of people where you can speak daily and ask questions.
Which is always a pity. Like, they started out as being like this huge, like, creative small little servers, and now they are bloated with people and topics, and
but that's,
people are just throwing in stuff there, right?
That's usually how it happens, right?
Yeah.
They get so popular, so big, and I don't know, I still like them, but
you still like them. So you're still on there active and interacting.
Not so much active because, like I said, it's so busy. Like you kind of get lost in there.
I always felt a bit overwhelmed with those Discord servers because there are so many channels and pings, and I never really was a big Discord guy.
Yeah, I guess that's why I made my own. Like,
there you go.
Small private Discord where I just keep. So we're like less than 20 people, and
yeah, that's.
I
smart.
Think I'll keep it that way.
Yeah, that's absolutely smart. So making the jump over to being a lead position, what would you say is important for lead artists out there? Like, what are some important skills you need for being a lead?
This is a tough one, I guess. Being able to multitask a lot, tackling a lot of also your task, you know, you have to do some art as well, but tackling all the guys that are working on the project and giving them feedback and making sure everything is good on their side. Keeping track of, I guess, deadlines also, right? Being patient also, it's really important to give feedback and sorry, I lost my train of thought.
All good.
Yeah, being patient. You have to be patient to be able to...
To wait on the artist who takes ages.
Not so much, I guess. It's normal. We've all been there, but...
Yeah.
Being able to give feedback in such a way that it's understandable and, you know, not too shallow, I guess, but also not to spend too much time because deadlines are tough.
That's true. So I think, communication is a pretty huge deal, right? Like being able to communicate feedback and issues that are arising in the production.
Yeah, that's probably one of the toughest things, how to communicate, how to get your point across well and not get like misunderstood or not be too too ambiguous. That's a skill in itself.
So are you also like working together with the art director?
Not on the project I'm on, but on the previous one, I was really involved, let's say artistically, and I was given a lot of freedom even to like make level designs or level blockouts and get that from prototype to finished level with, you know, with the art director's input, I guess.
That's nice. So how did you like how to, so it's always great when the art director is giving you freedom, right?
Oh yeah. That was honestly the best project I was on. Just really? Having so much freedom. That was really awesome.
Is that always the case, right? For outsourcing studios?
Yeah, especially that's what I was going to say. Usually in outsource you don't get that much freedom, but
yeah. Here's your job, do it and don't try out anything fancy, right?
Yeah. And they gave me a lot of freedom and they loved hearing my ideas and my input. Mm-hmm. They even implemented a lot of it. So
yeah.
I guess that's how it is in-house, I guess.
Is it still, you would say?
I don't know, honestly, because I've never worked in-house, so I always have that FOMO, that fear of missing out, right?
Oh, I do as well. I never really went to like a studio and worked there. Like I always worked from home.
Yeah.
And this is sometimes when I see like this video game documentaries, that's something I miss. Like you see people checking in at CD Projekt Red and they have this cool office building and like they are chatting with the artists and this is something I miss, to be honest.
Yeah. Well, although I ask some friends that work in-house, and you know, they tell me, yeah, it's really awesome, but they would still prefer to be remote.
That's true. Yeah.
So I don't know.
It would be cool to have like a hybrid version, like working from home on Monday and Friday, and maybe going up to the studio and the rest.
A lot more studios are offering this, so it's quite cool. I think it's a good thing.
So you're completely working from home, right?
Yeah.
Roommate has a studio, but in where are they located? They have lots of studios, right?
They have a studio, I think, in Poland and Ukraine, but their legal entity is in Cyprus. I don't know. Yeah.
Nice. But so have you been there yet?
No.
To one studio? No. So you are completely from home?
Yeah, completely. I've never been in-house ever.
Yeah, same. Yeah. How do you, like, how is your work day? How do you handle working from home? Are you getting distracted or how is it for you to handle like your remote work?
Honestly, it's not distracting almost at all for me. I can just, so I have my schedule from 10 to 7 p.m. And okay. I just go in and I do my job. Maybe I take a couple of breaks here and there, but usually I just go in and work. But it's basically the same as I was working on, you know, my personal project. So I'm just used to work like that.
Yeah. Nice. Anything you wanna add, Doru?
Not sure.
So let's speak about your day to day. Like, do you like how many meetings do you have a day, or is it more like a one on one with your artists?
So there's like one daily stand up,
mm-hmm.
plus a couple of stand ups with the client each week.
Mm-hmm.
Those are like the mandatory ones, and then you know there's a few meetings here and there with the artists if they need it, if they need feedback or anything. But yeah, I guess it's normal.
Yeah. So how many artists do you have in your team?
This is quite a
good question, huh?
because this project is a bit strange. It's really large, so there's like three leads.
I see.
Okay. It constantly shifts, and
mm-hmm.
I can't really mm-hmm. answer that exactly.
Okay, so it's always like changing.
Yeah, depending on what level I'm on. Sometimes maybe I have three or four, maybe sometimes more.
So how is it for you to like onboard new artists if you have that like many changes in the team? Is it like is it hard for you to kind of get them on your artistic page or?
Yeah, it kind of is hard sometimes because I have to deal with so much stuff already. So usually we'll give them documentation and be there for any questions they have.
Yeah.
Just help them out as much as we can.
Yeah, I made the experience that having a good documentation is like key.
Yeah, although it's not always possible. It's not easy. Sometimes yeah. There's no documentation maybe, or missing documentation. So that's when it's tough. So maybe we have to step in and make our own documentation or
yeah.
tutorials, I guess.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, sometimes the like the documentation is still not enough. Even it's like written perfectly, there are still. I always find it better if you speak with people and not read it. So,
mm-hmm.
yeah. But as you said, it's not possible to like onboard every artist on the project and explain them where they need to save their files, right?
Even from like my perspective as an artist, when I got onboarded without documentation, it was challenging. But I think the key was to ask a lot of questions. Like, I when I get on a project, I don't care if I'm maybe a little bit annoying, but I mm-hmm. ask a lot of questions, and I think that helps in the long run. You just get
there
quicker and.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Get all the stupid questions out of the way and get to it.
And I feel like if you're an artist and you're starting out, when you're pretty young or when you're junior, you always get a bit afraid of asking questions. But I'm now at a stage where I feel like it's better to ask than because to do mistakes.
Yeah, honestly, if you're new, it's really good to ask questions, I think.
Yeah.
I don't think leads will ever get annoyed unless, you know, they're
exactly
a bit of an asshole, maybe. But usually, like 90% of leads, I don't think they would get annoyed or think badly about you. Just
exactly, yeah.
Actually, it's because the opposite, I think.
Really? Yeah.
I respect more, you know, those artists that ask questions, and I see they're interested in learning.
Yeah, because that shows that you want to grow and that you want to contribute to the project and make sure that what you contribute is good stuff, right?
Yeah. And I see them active, so like they're not just in their own corner
sitting around and
turning away. So I see them involved.
Something is happening. Yeah. So how do you feel like your career? Are you happy that everything turned out as it turned out, or are there some things you regret starting out in your career?
Honestly, for where I came from, like self-taught,
mm-hmm.
this is this was the best approach I could do. I don't think
nice.
I could have done it any better, because it's just so tough. Even, you know, there's no experience, no academic learning or anything.
Yeah.
I'm quite happy with how things turned out.
That's cool. It's great to hear. All right, Doru. Thank you so much for taking the time, being on the podcast. I will put your portfolio in the info box. And
thanks for having me.
Have a great rest of your evening. Enjoy your evening, and take care.
You too, man. I'll see you around.
See you. Bye-bye, Doru.
Bye.